Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a great habit to get into. This has been kind of a rock and roll day out here in the Southwest. There was an earthquake over in Baja, California, 6.9 on the Richter scale. And although I did not feel the earth moving, I'm over on the east side of the valley here, but on the west side of the valley, they did feel it, and it caused some of the buildings to sway in downtown Phoenix. Now, downtown Phoenix has no tall buildings. Not really. There are no skyscrapers in Phoenix. Not like you have in Chicago and Philadelphia, Dallas, Los Angeles, New York, etc. No skyscrapers. So it you would think if it was causing some of the buildings in Phoenix to sway, and there's nothing really very tall in Phoenix, that it had to be a pretty good roll of the earth. But out here in the East Valley, where I am, we didn't feel anything. So I don't know. I'm not that far from downtown Phoenix, but we didn't feel it, but it was felt out in the West Valley and in downtown Phoenix, which is slightly west. All right, over the weekend, we tried to send the K-Files E-Zine out, and some of you got it twice, some of you didn't get it at all. We don't know why, but both times when we tried to send it out, after it sent number 852, it would not send any more. Don't know why. It's like it just got hung, got stuck. So what we're going to do is start with number 853 tonight. Spent the weekend reinstalling software. I don't know. I don't think it's our software. But we spent the weekend reinstalling software and getting ready, and we will try again tonight. So if you did not get your K-Files E-Zine, maybe you're in this batch, and we'll try to send it out again tonight, starting with 853. So the first 852 already got it twice. You won't get it a third time. But we'll start right where it hung up, and we will try to get that out to you. Gary McKinnon has, as of Friday, lost his battle with the government in the UK trying to avoid being extradited. His last possible appeal was unsuccessful. And so he will be extradited to the United States to stand trial, and he'll be standing trial for having hacked into military and NASA computers. It's very, very controversial. There are many people who think it's okay because he was only looking for UFO information. Other people think it's not okay. Either way you cut it, he faces a total of 70 years if he's convicted on all counts. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening was supposed to be Judy Vans, who is the assistant director for MUFON here in Arizona. We talked on the telephone last week, and then we talked again today, and now we cannot get her on the telephone. So I hope everything's okay. Don't know what the deal is. But Judy Vans will not be with us this evening, as we had anticipated, and we will kick it over now into a little bit of open line. So, but we have the opportunity, although I certainly wish that we had Judy with us. This provides us an opportunity to talk about some things that are also important and on the plate. You know, last week I did a show where I talked about a scientist with the European Space Agency, and I said that I couldn't remember his name, but he was Italian, and that he had a couple of years ago discovered that there was methane in the atmosphere of Mars, and then it all went quiet. It was a big, big, big thing, and then went quiet. And then I said that he also had discovered then that there was ammonia in the upper atmosphere of Mars. And again, that was a big, big thing, and then it went quiet. Well, I couldn't remember his name, and one of our listeners, Charles, sent me an email and I actually got this last week, but on Friday, but I just didn't have the time to get into it. But he said, I think the European Space Agency scientist that you were talking about, who was talking about methane and ammonia on Mars, was named Vittorio Formisano. That's exactly right. That is the name of the scientist. So you might want to do a Google search and, just sort of read up on Mr. Vittorio Formisano and his discovery of methane and ammonia in the atmosphere of Mars. Now, the importance of that, as I pointed out last week, the importance is that both of those are indicators for biological processes. It's not 100% certain that if you find methane in the atmosphere, you have biological processes going on. It's not 100% certain if you find ammonia in the atmosphere that you have biological processes going on. But it's the possibilities are extremely high. And when you find both of them, that makes the possibilities even higher. So very important work done by Vittorio Formisano. All of the press, you know, on that sort of went quiet, at least here in the United States. But very important work and very interesting work by this scientist for the European Space Agency. Okay, now what we're going to do, I'm going to mention a couple of more things, and then we'll go open line to see what you think about these things. One thing I thought was pretty important is the poll that we did about, do you think that there is an alien base on our moon? And it ranged from just over 68% throughout the week. It was up and down. But just over 68% to just under 68%. And so an average of about 68% of our audience who responded to the poll said, yes, they think there is indeed an alien base on the moon. And that's a pretty high percentage. That's pretty high. Some were undecided, and then some said no. But about 68% said, yeah, I think there's an alien base. And I pointed out that last week, or the week before, question was, how many of you believe that we actually, or how many of you think we actually went to the moon? And it was about like 64% said, yes, we actually went, and now 68%, and there's an alien base on the moon. Pretty interesting stuff. All right, I mentioned Gary McKinnon, and we'll talk about him a little bit this evening. Gary McKinnon, of course, is going to be big news here in the United States once again. And he's been big news, you know, ongoing he's been news, but he's been big news a couple of times throughout the months of this Gary McKinnon saga. But he's going to be big news once again when he is brought back to the United States to stand trial. He'll be big news because of the fact they say that he's responsible for the largest hack of military computers in the history of the United States. He was working from his home with his own computer on a 56K dial-up on a modem, and spent about 2 years traipsing through all these military computers and NASA computers. Now, the fact that he did it is not in dispute. He said he did it. He has been on television and radio and spoken to newspapers, and he said that he did it. So that's not in dispute. The thing that is sort of a different twist about the Gary McKinnon case is that he says he did it because he was looking for evidence about UFOs and extraterrestrials. And for a great many people, once he said that, it was like, oh, well, it's okay then. And you may be one of those people. I don't agree with that. I have a different view of that. But you're entitled to your view, just as I am entitled to mine. And you know, if you listen to this show for any length of time, I don't, if you call in with a different view, I don't jump your case about it. I let you express your view, and we're going to let you express your view as tonight when we open up the telephone lines. You want to talk about, you know, what's going to happen now with Mr. McKinnon, what ought to happen. You can do that when we open up the telephones. Last week, there was also news out of Canada, and I got a telephone call about it today. But a flying object crashed into the Ottawa River. Witnesses on the ground said that the thing changed directions. It wasn't going in a straight line. It changed directions, zigzagged, and it had lights around it, and it crashed into the Ottawa River. And there was both military and police response to the site. They didn't find anything. So kind of sounds like that, a little bit like that deal in Needles, doesn't it? The UFO crash in Needles. So that's a little bit mysterious. Well, anyway, we're going to open up the telephone lines and let you say what you want to say about these things. Once again, I apologize that our guest, Judy Vance, is not with us. We made two attempts to get her on the telephone for the show, and those went unanswered. So maybe there's some sort of an emergency or something. I don't know. Anyway, The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Or toll free, 888-223-4599. And if you have any information or comment about the crashed UFO in the Ottawa River, we'd love to hear from you. If maybe you have another UFO report that you would like to tell us about, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you have a comment about the Gary McKinnon thing. It's not a trial. I call it the Gary McKinnon thing because there's no trial yet. Eventually, we'll be saying, what do you think about the Gary McKinnon trial? There's no trial yet. All of the legal wranglings have all been about whether or not he could be extradited to the United States and brought here for trial. He has lost his final appeal, and he will be brought here for trial. So, you know, I think it's still a very, very important issue. I think it's an important issue for the UFO community because I'm going to say something, and I'm going to put a big grain of salt on it before I say it. I want you to understand that I'm not being critical of the UFO community, but I want you to think about what it might say about the UFO community for the UFO community to say it's okay for McKinnon to break into all these computers as long as he's looking for UFO material. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
You're kind of quiet tonight, but I'll try my best.
Do what?
I said you're kind of quiet tonight, but I'll try my best.
All right. Okay.
I had a question. You know the story last week about the Soviet Union and the Navy? And the reports that they released, I wasn't sure. I was heard from a couple of places that's been out for a long time. Do you have any idea if that is true?
The basic information, the stories themselves, have been out for a while. For instance, the one about Lake Baikal, where the Soviet Navy divers ran into some swimmers that were wearing silver suits and didn't have any breathing apparatus, and they were at about 140 feet down. That story's been out there for a while, actually for a long time. It's been out there. What hasn't been out there are the top Soviet Navy commanders talking about it and confirming it. So it would be like Roswell. Roswell's out there. It's been out there for a long time. But if we suddenly had a top general step to the microphone and say, okay, folks, here's the deal. Roswell really happened. It was extraterrestrial. And, you know, he would just be confirming the story that's already out there. And so that's what's new about it, is the source of the information. The stories themselves have been out there. But see, Ryan, that points out something that's important. You've heard me say that we don't have to have the government pat us on the head and say, that's right, you saw a doorknob. When we see UFOs, we don't have to have them tell us that's what it is. We know that's what it is. And you've heard me say that whether the government wants to get on the disclosure bandwagon or not, disclosure is happening, and there is tons of information just laying around out on the surface, out in the open, and all we have to do is investigate it, because they can't gather it all up. They can't put a lid on it. Well, this thing in Russia proves that. The stories got out. And now we have these top generals and admirals and captains that over there that are saying, yeah, it's true. So they're just confirming what was already out there.
I think it was Friday that I guess Putin went on a dive in a submarine into the same lake, and he went down. I don't know if it was related or not, but I just found it kind of interesting. That I'm sure he probably knew about it already. However, it was kind of interesting that right after that story came out, that he was down in a submarine down. I don't know what the reason for that is, but did you hear about that that landing case in I think it was New Mexico, where the grass showed a big, huge circle on it, kind of like some of the old landing cases?
No, recent?
Yeah, I think it was a couple of weeks ago.
No, I didn't hear about it.
But anyways, that Lake Baikal, there's an image of that that's from up in the air. It's a pretty clear image, and it shows a circular formation on the ice, on the top of the ice, like something, it's almost like a direct circle on, like it was something just came through the ice or went down into the ice, or it got melted in a circle somehow. So I don't know if that was from the submarine or if that was from something else, but I thought it was kind of interesting too.
Yeah, I don't know, but I thought it was interesting, too, when I heard that Vladimir Putin went down into Lake Baikal in a sub right after all of this news came out. I don't know, like you, I don't know if it's related to this news, but it wouldn't surprise me if it were.
It's kind of interesting stuff. Yeah, anyways, I'll keep up good work, and I'll talk to you some other time.
Okay? All right. Thanks for the call, Ryan. 623-444-5889 is the number to call, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Again, toll-free, 888-223-4599. Now, those telephone numbers will work from anywhere in the world. But if you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, it may be that you would prefer to not make an international long-distance call. And if that's the case, you can use our Flash Message feature. You go to my website and you scroll down. You'll see where it says Flash Message. Notice that it says if you are outside the United States and Canada. If you're in the United States or you're in Canada, use the telephone, okay? We pay for the call. You get to choose. If you want to use the toll-free number, you can use the toll-free number. And, again, it is 888-223-4599. The Lake Baikal thing is a very interesting story. And I hope, you know, it's a little bit difficult for me to convey what I'm really trying to get across there about the situation with this Russian disclosure being important. They're not telling us something we didn't already know, but they're confirming what we already did know, proving that what we already knew was accurate. That's important. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are open line. Again, we'll try to reschedule Judy Vans. Don't know what happened. We were not able to make contact. Telephone call went through, but there was no answer. So apparently some emergency or something came up. So we'll try to reschedule her for some point in the future. So we're open line, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Or if you wish to call toll-free, you may do so. The toll-free number is 888 888-223-4599. Again, 888-223-4599. If you are outside the USA, you're outside of Canada, you can elect to use a flash message if you wish. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, you're live on the show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Yeah, Bob.
Hey, I was just checking out the outer planets from Saturn, Jupiter a little bit, Uranus, Neptune. And I was thinking about Pluto, and I wanted to bounce off of you what you thought. With the small size of Pluto and the enormous size of planetoids, the farther you get out because the solar system might not have formed as well, don't you think it's actually a miracle for it that it hasn't been hit by a planetoid and been destroyed yet? Or are the numbers just so vast out there that, you know, the probability is it wouldn't get hit? It's just I look at the moon and I see how much it got hit. It just makes me wonder because it's kind of small and planetoids do get bigger out there.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a wonder because it is, you would think it's out there where it's pretty much of an easy target. But apparently, for some reason, it hasn't been hit a lot. And, of course, we don't have any pictures of the surface. We will get some. There is a NASA probe headed towards Pluto. It'll be a long time before it gets there, but we will get eventually some surface photos of Pluto. And it may surprise us. You know, there may be a bunch of little Plutonians standing down there with signs that say, Yankee, go home.
Interesting. You know, there was something else I was looking at. I was just curious if there could be any kind of life on places like Uranus and Neptune way out there. And I heard two conflicting facts. One place said it was hot, and another place said both of those places were extremely cold. And so I looked into it further, and it pretty much said that all of those planets out there have a rocky core, which isn't talked about a lot for a gaseous type planet. But the interesting part I was thinking was the temperatures usually range the further out you go towards like negative 5,000 degrees. And as you get closer to the core, they range up to, you know, all the way into the core, like 5,000 degrees to where there can be really any life on either end. And so you try to imagine if there's like a soft spot in the middle where there could be life. And so I looked into that, and it was saying that those enormous temperatures on both sides create an enormous pressure, which would crush any kind of life trying to form, you know, and with a hydrogen atmosphere and certain things, it pretty much looks like there might not be a lot of life. So I'll leave you with this for a fun fact that not a lot of people think about. I often wonder what the surface looks like, because they say we'll never, ever get a satellite or anything down there anytime soon, at least. Because of those enormous pressures and temperatures, I often wonder what it would look like to be on top of the water, you know, just on an average day where there's some kind of light, and what it would look like to take a photograph. And the last thing was, I don't measure an intelligence like with aliens, the ability to go through space and time, you know, to get to us. At this point, you got to be a little bit comical about it because there's so many things going on that we don't know. And to me, if they can take a spacecraft of any type or any kind of energy and go down and take that photograph, then I'll think that they're the most intelligent beings around. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Well, I've talked about this before, so my views about life on these other planets will not be a surprise to those of you who are longtime listeners. I think there probably is life of some kind on every planet and every moon of every planet. Now, having said that, I don't think that it all looks like us. I'm not talking about humanoid. I'm talking about the chemical makeup. You know, an amoeba and you are very much alike chemically. Your needs are very much alike. You need oxygen, you need water, and you need food. Well, I think that life on this planet, in general, requires oxygen, water, and food. That's because on this planet, there is oxygen and water. And no matter where life is, it would have to have some form of energy, some form of food. It would have to eat something. But we think that because we see a life that's like us everywhere we look on this planet, that life anywhere would have to look like this. I don't think so. Now, we know that organisms have been found on this planet that will die when you expose them to oxygen. They live in a soup of hydrocarbons or in CO2 and hydrogen and so forth. And they're very, very ancient. They do live under the surface on this planet, right here. And they don't use oxygen and water. So if you can have that here, you can have it anywhere. Well, what about these immense pressures? Well, I think that means nothing. The reason we live where we live is because we developed in this zone of pressure and in this zone of chemicals, oxygen, water, nitrogen, etc. But there are living creatures, not plants, creatures, that live in the deepest part of the deepest ocean where they thought absolutely nothing could live because no light gets there. There's very little oxygen. And these things live right at the vents in the ocean floor where volcanic material erupts out of the ocean floor, gases, fluids, and lava. And these creatures are living right there where it's mostly really hot and really deprived of oxygen. But they thrive in that immense pressure. In fact, the first group to go down, the first, I think there were two people, maybe three, in this diving bell that went down. And they were really afraid that this vehicle they went down in could not stand the pressure. They were hoping it would, but they were really afraid it wouldn't. And in fact, one of the outer windows cracked from the pressure. And if the inner window had cracked, it would all have been over. But they were the first people to see these things down there. They were amazed. They were astounded. They saw that life was thriving in the most inhospitable environment on this planet. And life was thriving. So I think on any planet, regardless of the chemical makeup of the planet, regardless of the temperatures, regardless of the pressures, I think life happens. So here we are, we breathe oxygen, and we think that's normal. And we never even stop to think that oxygen is one of the most corrosive materials, one of the most corrosive elements that exists. Oxygen will bring down steel bridges and skyscrapers. Oxygen will sink ships. Oxygen is highly corrosive. And yet, we breathe it. And it's even in, it's a huge part of a substance that we require called water. So we run on this very corrosive stuff called oxygen. What makes you think that on a planet where it's mainly sulfuric gas in the atmosphere, what makes you think something could not develop there that thrives on sulfuric acid like we thrive on oxygen? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is Bob from California.
Yeah, Bob.
Hey, I just wanted to add where I got those facts from, because I do tend to agree with you when I look at those deep seas. It was kind of like just I was going over information today, and that's what it was showing in a lot of different places. I got that from universetoday.com. Mm-hmm. And so it's supposed to be a big site, and it makes me wonder how biased they are, like a major, you know, media. Thanks.
Okay. Well, most of these, most everything that you will find written about these outer or these other planets, and then the outer bodies out away from our solar system, almost everything you're going to find written is written from the perspective of being homo terracentric. And that means man, earth-centered. From our perspective, no life could exist on Venus. From our perspective, no life could exist on Saturn or on its moon, Titan, or any of its other moons. From our perspective, and our perspective is homo terracentric, man, earth-centered. But I think that's entirely ludicrous. I mean, we're homo terracentric, and we're amazed when we find life living in these really extreme environments. We call them extreme. They would, if they could speak, those creatures that live at the bottom of the ocean, if they could speak to us and we could hear them and understand them, they would say they are amazed that we live in such an extreme environment. Their environment is not extreme for them. It's only extreme for us. And we are homo terracentric in our view of the universe. We're homo terracentric in our view of everything. And I think it's a big mistake. I think there's life on Mars. I think there's life on Venus and Mercury and Uranus and the Moon and Phobos and Titan. I don't know what else I've left out. I think it's on every heavenly body. I think life is just out there. And it just doesn't all look like us. We go there looking for life like us and don't find it, and then we say there's no life. Not too smart. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have gone open line, and that means you get to call in and say whatever you want to say. I brought a couple of things to the table, and we'll talk about those. We'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about, and we will try to reschedule Judy Vans, and I just hope everything's okay with Judy. Don't know what the deal is. Okay, we have a flash message from Germany. And, the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. All right, we have this flash message from Germany. This is from Kenneth in Germany. It says, I have proof from 30 years of research, from a key discovery, that yes, the so-called face on Cydonia Mars, is artificial, as are the anomalies of the Cydonia region. I also know exactly what they are doing there and have a direct connection to life on Earth. Interested? You betcha. Kenneth, I am indeed interested. I would hope that you would share that with us. If you have proof of this, that certainly would be big, big news. And I think it's something we would all be interested in. So if you've got proof from 30 years of research, if you've got proof that the so-called face on Cydonia Mars is artificial and that the anomalies of that region are also artificial and that they have a connection with life on Earth, I would be most interested. So please feel free to communicate that to us. You can do it, Kenneth, either by flash message or you can give us a call at one of those numbers, 623-444-5889. Or 888-223-4599. All right, we have a message from Bob in Australia. It says, "Hi, Kevin, I hope you are well." Thank you, I am. He says, "My question is, do you think they might throw the book at him?" I guess he's talking about Gary McKinnon here. "Or will they just sweep it under the carpet? There are a lot of people on his side, so it should be interesting to see what form of justice is dished out." I really don't know. I really have no idea. There was a time in the not-too-distant past when I could have pretty accurately guessed what would happen. But I don't know enough about the Obama administration. None of us do. It's still new. It's only, what, 6.5 months into the term. So I just don't know how to guess on this one. I really don't. All of this with Gary McKinnon started during the Bush administration, but you need to understand that this is the Department of Justice. It's not the president. And so I'm not sure that all that much has changed in the Department of Justice. If it hasn't changed, if the climate, the atmosphere there has not changed much, if that's the case, they're going to throw the book at him. If there has been a change of atmosphere in the Department of Justice, it may be that they prosecute him and, you know, drop it down to just one or two charges and he may get, you know, a few years and then he's free. I can't imagine that they're going to go for the entire 70 years. Now, I was 100% wrong about previous predictions, and I don't want to make predictions. I've made some predictions about what I thought our government would do in a couple of situations, and I was 100% wrong. As it turns out, their decision turned out to be wrong. But I had thought they would not do some things they did. They did it. So I don't know how to guess this. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay, the caller is not there, so we will move on. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. As I was saying, you know, in I've been doing this now before Bush, during Bush, and after Bush. So I started this when Clinton was president. I did this show all the way through the Bush administration, and I'm now into the Obama administration. And I made some predictions, not on the air, and you know, I the show doesn't get into politics, and but just with friends, I made some predictions about what I thought would be a decision of a couple of those presidents, Clinton and Bush. And I gave my reasons why I thought they would decide a certain way on things. They didn't. They went a different direction. So I don't have a very good track record at predicting presidents. Yeah. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? And the caller has hung up again. Okay, well, let's just see. Okay, that's two different callers from two different locations, and I don't know why. Look, if you call and I put you on hold, what you need to do is remain on hold until I bring you on the air. All right? You know your first clue that you're on hold? Your first clue is your phone's not you're not hearing it ring anymore. That means you made it. Okay, so with McKinnon, let's talk about Mr. McKinnon for a moment. I have said that I don't think that he should skate just because he says he was looking for UFO information. There are people who think that he should. There are people who think that, oh, okay, well, he was just looking for UFO information, so they shouldn't prosecute him. And I've used this example. You and I are interested in UFOs, right? That's why, you know, you come here to the Kevin Smith Show because you're interested in UFOs or you're interested in paranormal things and you like to hear what's happening with UFOs and paranormal. And maybe you are a UFO researcher. And, you know, you've really pull together a whole lot of information about UFOs because you're interested. You come home from work one day and discover there's someone going through your house and they're just, you've got a burglar in the house and they're opening drawers and looking in all kinds of files and everything. All right, what would you do? Now, some of you say, oh, I carry a gun. I'd blow him away. Okay, that's one thing. Some of you would say, oh, I would leave immediately and go call the police. I think everyone would say they would go call the police or they would take some action. So the police come, they go in the house, they find the guy going through all of your stuff. And then the guy says, oh, well, I was just looking for UFO information. Would you want the police to allow this guy to go? So, I mean, there he is. He says to the policeman, well, I was just looking for UFO information. And the policeman says, oh, okay. Well, all right, you're free to go. Would you be angry with the police? You bet. Would you go down to the police station and file complaints with the police commanders and say the policeman failed to do his job? You bet you would. Would you be on the evening news telling the world that the police didn't do their job? I bet you would. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break for a little bit, and then we've got something else to talk about. It is open line, so we'll talk about whatever you want as well. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. And the telephone line is open Your first clue that you made it is you don't hear it ringing anymore, okay? So if we put you on hold, you need to remain there until we get to you. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. This thing about Gary McKinnon, unfortunately, he's going to probably be looking at some time, but I don't really think it's going to be the 70 years that everybody, you know, in the legal arena thinks he might get. I think he's going to do maybe, I would say at least 4 years, at least 4 years to begin with, but probably not more than 10. I don't really think, what he did wasn't a very good idea, and the comparison that you just made about, you know, someone going through your house and, you know, saying, well, I was just looking for UFO tapes, that would be basically the same way, but I don't think the guy deserves to get 70 years for it. Yeah, what he did was, you know, not very smart, but I don't think it warrants 70 years, you know.
Unless, and this is a big unless, if they have any evidence that they haven't shared with the public that he is actually a terrorist and that he actually engaged in some sort of terroristic act in those computers, now that might warrant 70 years.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
But I don't, you know, I think if that's the case, they would have made that case to the top of their tonsils. They would have been screaming he's a terrorist at the top of their voice. And so I don't think it's going to be the case. I think he did what he said he did and probably no more. But I don't understand why he would even be exposed to 70 years. I do think that he should stand trial for what he did. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand why 70 years. There are people who are convicted of murder that don't get 70 years.
Well, not only that, but they, you know, immediately after their sentence, they start appealing.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes the appeals go through and sometimes they don't. But, he did something foolish, definitely. You know, I think, he needs to be punished for that, but, you know, not 70 years. Like I said, I'd be surprised if he has to do any more than 10. I don't think he will even do that. Maybe 4 to 6, and maybe, you know, that's going to be it. And,
Let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the negligent disregard for security exhibited by all of those people who used all those computers and the computer systems managers, to, you know, just an absolute negligence in terms of keeping those computers secured so you couldn't break into them, do you think that negligence rises to the level of criminal negligence?
That's a really tricky question. I'm not tricky in that the sense, but there's a lot of gray areas there. So that would be really difficult to answer because I would have to actually, I think, you know, you'd have to actually, like, look at, like, what kind of security was on it, you know, who was responsible for it, you know,
there was no firewall set up and everything.
I mean,
there was no security.
That in itself would, you know, to me would be like a piece-by-piece thing. You can't just group it all together.
There was no security. The computers that he went into.
That, yes, but what I'm saying is there might be varying reasons as to why security wasn't available.
If
a crash or something, then is that really the person's fault? Maybe, and maybe not. It just depends.
Yeah, but Debbie, there was no crash. This went on for 2.5 years, and these were government computers that were not password protected. That means that the systems manager or administrator had not password secured those systems.
Well, let me put this question to you. do you think there's a possibility that there might be some kind of a cover-up, that maybe some of these people were giving him, allowing him to do this?
I hadn't thought about that.
I just find it really, I mean, I know what you're saying, but I just find it really hard that after two and a half years, that this was, you know, this one, like you said, this went on for so long and it wasn't discovered. Well, if that's the case, then maybe there are, a number of individuals that are involved with this on our side, on this side of the pond.
Well, should they be prosecuted?
Yes, definitely. Because that is a form of espionage.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a supposition on my part, okay? If they have allowed this to go on, meaning they knew about it, number one, and didn't do anything about it, and or number two, they were allowing him to do this, that's espionage. And then, yes, they should be prosecuted. And they should be prosecuted and get more time than he did.
Well, I would agree.
They were allowing this to happen.
Now, let's say that they didn't allow it. Let's say that they just had not secured the computers, meaning mm-hmm. then that they're incompetent in their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suspect will happen to them?
Well,
I can tell you what will happen.
That's a good question. They may get prosecuted and serve time. They're definitely going to be fired from their jobs. Definitely.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Really?
In police work, in the military, and in government bureaucracies, you screw up to move up. You get promoted upward to get rid of the problem.
Well, it's happened in our local police department here in Columbus on a number of occasions.
You've seen it then. That's why it's not uncommon to run into royal screw-ups in very high positions.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the military, well, not so much. You know, let me take that back about the military. In the military, it does happen, but not quite as often and as frequently.
Right. And 9 times out of 10, if it's something like that, that's, you know, going to be a major problem. You're talking, you know, especially if it's going to be detrimental to military security and stuff. 9 times out of 10, the enlisted person is court-martialed and or jailed.
Well, yeah, and officers too. But
My dad was in the military for 30 years, so I do know that.
But I do know that in police work all over this country, in bureaucracies of every kind of government, whether it's local or state, or federal, you screw up to move up. That's how you get promoted. Screw up bad
right,
enough that, and they promote you.
That makes
you.
A lot of sense, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
I guess we'll find out what happens, you know, as the trial proceeds and, you know, if it does come out in the open that there are folks on this side, you know, in those areas of the military and NASA that contributed toward Mr. McKinnon being able to get into this information, then they're going to have a really big price to pay, because I'm going to tell you what, if he goes down, they're going to go down too.
I hope it plays out that way. I do.
Well, I guess we'll find out. This is going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
To follow. All right, Kev, have a good night.
All right, thanks for the call.
Oh, by the way, before we leave, I just saw Jeremy and Stewart's new commercial.
Yeah.
I love it.
Super, huh?
Yeah, so I hope if the boys are listening that they hear what I'm saying, and fellas, you did a great job, and just keep coming up with those great commercials.
Yeah.
Have a good night, Cap.
All right, thanks. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Now, you see, Debbie brought up something I had not considered, and that is, what if there was someone here that was aiding him, making it possible for him to break into all those computers? That gets thick. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller, you're live on the air. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. I'll tell you what happens. People are listening to the show, and they call in. And they keep listening to the show, expecting they will hear when I say you're live on the air. Well, there is a delay, a significant delay. What you're hearing right now was actually said close to a minute before. All right, so when you call, you need to be listening to your phone. All right, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. If you live outside the USA, you live outside of Canada, you can, of course, send me a flash message. This is from Carl in Australia. It says, plans are firming up for sending humans to Mars in the coming decades. Meanwhile, evidence suggesting the possibility of life on Mars is coming in. If Mars has life, wouldn't we face an ethical problem if we wanted to send humans there? Colonies would sooner or later infect Mars with life from Earth via bacteria and viruses and perhaps more complex life, too. This would probably be bad news for any Martian life. If we intend to go to Mars, this might be a good reason to play down or deny the existence or even the possibility of Martian life. After all, who wants to be a conquistador? Regards, Carl. Good point, Carl. Good point. Would we infect life on Mars? Good chance we might. Good chance. You know, when the first Europeans had contact with the American Indians, they almost wiped out a significant number of them just with cold and flu viruses. The first Europeans that came into contact with the Eskimos just about sent them extinct with flu virus. So things, you know, you're carrying in you right now enough germs, enough bacteria, enough viruses that you're immune to. You're just carrying them around in you and you don't even notice it. You're immune to it. But you're carrying enough to wipe out a major population who has no immunity. If you were to come up against or come into contact with a population of people with no immunity to these things, and you're not sick, but you are carrying enough stuff that you really could cause a major problem. And this has happened right here on this planet in the past. And so, yeah, I think Carl makes a very good point. So one reason to play down the idea that there's life on Mars might be because of that. There's no life there, so it's okay for us to go. Good idea, Carl. Good thoughts. Russell from the United Kingdom, are you aware of the attempt by John Burroughs to arrange a reunion to further the exposure of the Bentwaters event? No. I am not aware of that. And let's see. This is Gordon from the United Kingdom. Following your tip, Kevin, about Bob Dean in Barcelona, I watched him on YouTube. There's a part where he shows slides of photos bought by Japan from NASA, apparently showing photos taken by various Apollo astronauts during their various missions. Some of these photos absolutely show UFOs of varying descriptions and sizes, both on the way to the moon and orbiting the moon. You can even see amongst the Japanese writing at the bottom of the photo negatives the word UFO at least twice. My point is, if Japan did get these Apollo photos taken from inside the lunar module before 40 cans of film were destroyed, it's almost proof positive that NASA had photos of UFOs way back then. It is unlikely that the photos were staged by the Japanese. What do you think? On another point, Kevin, did you receive the blown-up photo I sent of one of the Mars landers that appears to show a humanoid face and torso half buried in the Martian sand? It's not a photo I've seen elsewhere. Okay, yes, I did get that. Pretty amazing photo, and I agree with you. The fact that Japan got these photos from NASA a long time ago, it does prove that NASA had pictures of UFOs. That's true. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Millie calling from California.
Hi, Millie.
Hey. I just want to respond to the last caller that's talking about that the reason why they might be hiding life on Mars or because they don't want us. They might not want us to go spread germs or something over there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he said?
Well, what he said was one of the reasons to hide the fact that there's life on Mars might be because we're going, and just in case we start infecting a bunch of folks and killing them with these infections, it's okay because we don't know there's life there anyway. They're not telling us.
Okay. I just want to comment on that and say that if they don't care about infecting their own people with the swine flu, and they don't care about testing a vaccine that has not been tested on their own children, I doubt they care a flying belly button about any Martians.
You make a good point as well. You make a good point as well.
You know, there's a saying in my country that says, know the tree by the fruit that it gives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they can't take care of their own people. I doubt they give a heck about anybody in any other planet about spreading germs or anything like that. I doubt it. And that's what I want to say, Kevin. You have a nice evening.
All right. Thanks, Millie. Good point. Well, look, I think there are people involved in space exploration that, what did she say? Don't give a flying belly button? Is that what she said? whether we infect another planet or not. But there are some who do. And they're very, 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 very meticulous and careful to make sure that spacecraft that we send, for instance, to Mars, does not carry germs from Earth with it. Can they be 100% sure that they are successful with that? No, they cannot. But they're very careful about it. So I think, you know, you have people of both stripes there. You've got some that don't care and some that do. And then you've got some that truly think, there's no life there. Who cares? Let's just go. So I think you get all of that. Really, I do. And, you know, it's pretty interesting to hear from our audience, from our callers. We've heard both sides of that issue now. Okay. Okay, this one says, Kevin, I've tried calling in twice. When you put me on hold, then I can barely hear, and then I get cut off. I hope this helps. Okay, got you. All right. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about that. That's got to be a problem on your phone line. We do know that when we bring you on the air, you can barely hear me. We know that. But it's been that way for a long, long time, ever since they put this new cable in. And it's that improved service, you know. They improve things and to bring you better service, and it always is, it's less than what you had. But that's the way it goes. You know, and look, here's an example of something that's just, I don't know, it kind of fits with that a little bit. The electric company that serves the area that I live in here is called SRP. Now, SRP stands for Salt River Project. By their own admission, 54% of their customers have been disconnected at some point during this summer because they could not pay their bill. Now, some of them were disconnected for a day or two, some for a week, some for a month, some stayed disconnected. 54% could not pay their bills already. 54%. And these guys are trying to put through a rate hike. It always gets better. They're always looking out for us, right? It always gets better. Okay. Well, let's get back to McKinnon, and let's talk about that just a little bit more, and then we want to move on to Ottawa. This thing with McKinnon, you know, I think McKinnon did break into these military computers. He hacked in. He hacked into NASA computers, regardless of what he was looking for. He has admitted that he did it. He's openly said that he did it. And so I think that, you know, he needs to stand trial, and it needs to be a honest, straight-up, square, fair trial. But he's already admitted doing it. That makes defense a little bit difficult. His defense is going to have to plead, I would think, that he was only looking for UFO information. I would think that once they announce that that's what he's going to plead, and they talk about evidence that they're going to have to present, I would think a lot of these charges are going to evaporate. I told you, I'm not a very good predictor of these sorts of things, at least not in the past several years I haven't been, and so I could be wrong. But I think that if he starts saying, well, look, I was looking for evidence of UFOs, and I found this, and oh, by the way, I found your space fleet, and here's the printout of the ships and the officers serving on those ships out in space. You know, if he does that, I think a lot of the charges have to evaporate simply because they don't want that out in open court. And so I think, like Debbie, I think he will do a minimum amount of time and then he will be out of here. Go home. Be back in the UK. I don't think they're really going to do 70 years. All right, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. It is open line live tonight. That means we'll talk about whatever is on your mind, all right? The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. How are you? This is Dominic from Toronto, Canada calling.
Hi, Dominic. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, yeah,
okay.
On my landline, I kept getting cut off, and I apologize for calling in twice. And
well, it's okay, sometimes it's just a weird thing that happens with somebody's phone line, it happens.
Yeah, so, but a great show like always, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for always putting it on the air the next day at work. I'm listening to it with a coffee in my hand, and getting through the day. I guess my question to you is, If you believe that NASA is covering up the UFOs, how can we respect the agency?
How can we do what?
Respect the agency if they're covering up the UFOs.
Well, they are operating under some legislation. They're operating under some laws, some executive orders by presidents, etc., that demand that they not disclose to us any evidence of extraterrestrial life, past or present. And so they're not going to come out and tell us, because they can't. This is not something that inside of NASA they just get together and say, hey, we're going to keep this a secret. They actually face prison time if they disclose to us. What they do, though, is they allow photographs to get out. They allow, they make an effort to airbrush some things, but some photographs still get out. And then they will say things that sound, you really have to parse what they've said, because it sounds like they're just giving you some plain old vanilla mumbo jumbo, when in fact, if you really think about what they just said, they just told you, yep, you're right. And I point to one statement that I don't know if you've heard me talk about it. I don't know if you saw it the night I actually put it up on the screen on the show on our video feed. They have a page on their website that actually talks about astronauts reporting UFOs. And it says that NASA has investigated these, and in every case, NASA has deemed these to not be abnormal in the space environment. And that's all they said about it. Well, if you deem it to not be abnormal, then you're deeming it to be normal.
Right.
So what they just said on their site is UFOs are normal in the space environment. And so, you know, I think if you really look carefully, you will see that there are some people that are getting information, people at NASA that do get information out to us, but you have to look at it and you have to think about it. They don't just come out and put it on the plate and serve it and say, okay, here it is, there are UFOs. But they do put the information out there where you can get it and where it does say, yeah, you folks are right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was hoping, since the agency is dedicated to find life out there, that since they find something unexplained, they would get the public's interest, more of an interest and involvement, if they say they just don't know what's out there and let's go find out. So,
well, you know, the public would be behind them a lot more if they would just come out and say, look, folks, there's life on Mars. We have found it. We know it's there. Here's what we found. There may be more complex life there. We need to go look. Yeah, the public would be behind them a great deal more. But like I say, they're operating under all kinds of directives that have tremendous penalties if they just disclose that there is extraterrestrial life, or even if they find ruins and artifacts. They can't talk about that either. They can't say, we found the ruins of a city. They can't say it because they're going to be, a few of those folks will end up going to prison if they do it. So they don't do it, but they do leave enough evidence laying around in photographs and in the way they word things that, you know, you can say, okay, well, they told us we had to look for it, but there it was. So, you know, I do have a lot of respect for the people at NASA. Generally, I mean, there are exceptions, but I have a lot of respect for NASA. because they are operating under some really stringent and, I think, arcane directives and laws. But I think they do a pretty good job of leaving stuff in photographs for us to find if we'll just look for it.
But I'll leave you with one thing before I go. With the Ottawa River crash up here, it was still made the news. It's still treated as a last piece at the end of the news, and it's pretty much died down now. So it's sad. I feel like the governments treat us like sheep, but like always. But anyways, thanks for the show.
All right. Thank you for the call. Yeah, governments do tend to treat citizens like sheep. And I tend to say to governments, just remember, when the sheep get to the point that they think you are irrelevant, you're out of business. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Julia from Texas.
Hi, Julia.
Yeah, what you just said, that's what I was going to remark about how they're irrelevant. And there was a question, do you believe there will be an official disclosure?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a question, will there be an official disclosure from any of our governments on this planet, I say no.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe if it may come from the extraterrestrials themselves, I think yes. I think there will be. And I do think that our governments here on this planet are irrelevant. I think they've made themselves that way.
Well, they seem to be working overtime in Washington trying to become irrelevant. But that's just my perspective. Other people would have a different perspective on it. Seems to me that that's the case. But and not just on the UFO issue, on just about every issue.
Right,
but,
I agree there.
So let me ask you this.
Well, I believe they'll have to, just because there's so much misinformation. And if my government, as much as I have respect for some of the people in the government, if they told me that the aliens, the extraterrestrials, were friendly, I would head for the hills. And if they told me that they were dangerous, I would get a picnic basket.
You spoken like a true Texan.
And, I guess so. Yeah.
And I am one. I was born and raised in Texas. Are you...
Whereabouts?
I'm sorry?
Whereabouts?
Dallas.
Oh, well, I was born in Louisiana, but raised in Dallas my life.
Yeah? Where did you live in Louisiana?
D. Ritter.
I know right where it is. I started my law enforcement career in Ouachita Parish, Monroe, West Monroe, Louisiana.
I know exactly where that's at.
That's where I started being a cop.
Well, both of my brother-in-laws were cops, too, but they had to get out of the business.
Yeah? Well, look, let me ask you this question about Texas. We keep hearing things about Texas, the talk in Texas about seceding from the Union. Are you aware of the fact that after the Civil War, Texas, of course, had seceded. After the Civil War, in order to become a state in the Union again and to have the full rights and privileges of a state, each state that had seceded had to sign and ratify the Articles of Reconstruction. Texas didn't and hasn't until today. Does that mean Texas is already still seceded and not a state?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I have been on the internet for the past, couple of years, and there's all kinds of secession parties, and yes, I am absolutely for it. There's one called the Southern Independence, now I'm so nervous I can't think. Anyway, there's a bunch of them, and yes, I think we should. I think it's past time.
You think it's going to happen?
I really do in Texas. I've never seen it like this before. This last 6 months, I've never seen it like this before. People are just signing up like crazy. There are more members, and it's just incredible.
You know,
Texans don't like this, what's going on.
There is a government in Texas called the Republic of Texas, and they are based on what I told you earlier about Texas is it never signed up to be a state again. And they rely upon the 1836 Constitution of the Republic of Texas.
Yeah. And well, I just read the secession articles for when we seceded from the Union during the Confederate War, and that was a very interesting piece of paper, and the very same paper could be used today.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch.
It very well. Yes, it will. And, Kevin, before I go, I just want to say one more time, and I hope you don't mind that I keep doing this, but I would like to ask our visitors from out there to make themselves known, and I just want to ask them one more time, and I'll keep doing that if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, Texas is an interesting dilemma. It'll be interesting for the whole world to watch, and especially for folks on this side of the world. Texas never officially became a state again after the Civil War. And when George Bush was the governor in Texas, the Republic of Texas sent an eviction notice and told him to get out of their White House. Whoa! Interesting to watch. Yes, it will be. All right. The UFO crash in the Ottawa River. You know, that's... there were a lot of witnesses that saw that, and they described a craft, not a meteor. It changed courses. It had lights on it. It was not a meteor, and they saw it crash into the river. The reports after the military and the police went out there looking for it, the reports were, we didn't find anything. And now we've had Dominique call from Canada saying it's, you know, still the laugh line at the end of the news. Well, I really would hope that the media in Canada would be smarter than the media in the United States. That wouldn't be too hard for you guys to do, believe me. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We are on Final Approach. That means we only have a few minutes left. And I would like to give those few minutes to you. If you want to call in and give us your opinions on something, or you want to make a comment or ask a question, whatever it may be, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Or 888, this is the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. All right. I was saying about the crash of this object into the Ottawa River. People on the ground saw what they saw. And apparently there were witnesses unrelated to each other, different locations, that saw this thing. And they described that it had lights on it, and that it sort of zigzagged, it changed directions, and then it crashed into the river. Now, obviously, meteors don't have lights on them. Obviously, they don't change directions. They fly in a straight, well, they don't fly, they fall in a straight line. And it's a little disturbing for the news media to start putting this into the category of let's chuckle about it. I'm not going to really castigate the media in Canada because I haven't seen or heard any of these situations where the media is chuckling about it. We just have a report from one of our listeners. I believe what he's saying. I personally have not seen or heard any of these Canadian news reports that he's referring to. All I will say about it is, come on, guys. It's not that hard to be smarter and better than the news media in the United States. A first grader could do better. So, you know, you guys rise above that, all right? People saw what they saw. Ask yourself as a reporter, if you're a reporter in Canada, ask yourself, when is the last time you saw a Cadillac and someone could convince you it was a cow? When is the last time you saw a Harley Davidson and someone was able to convince you it was a goat? You see, if you could be convinced it was a goat, now we can chuckle. When you say it was a Harley, and it is a Harley, it's not a goat, it's a Harley, it's going down the interstate, it's going down the highway, it's running at 65 miles an hour, you know this is not a goat. So the only chuckle here is if someone could convince you that it was a goat. Now we can chuckle. All right, we have an object in the air. It's got lights on it. It's changing directions and then crashes. And someone wants to convince you that it's a meteor. Now, chuckle at that, but you don't chuckle at the people that told the truth about what they saw. You can laugh at the people trying to describe it and tell it that it's a meteor, or you can laugh at the people, your own colleagues, that bought the idea that that was a meteor when the witnesses saw what they saw. Laugh at your colleagues. That's okay, because they have bought the idea that a Harley was a goat. That's fine to laugh at. Laugh at them. But you don't laugh at the people who are dealing with reality. The reality is, it had lights on it. It changed course. It changed directions before it crashed. It's not a meteor. Now, we don't know what it is. They say it was not a plane. Okay, I can buy that. So it's not a plane. If it's not a plane and it's changing courses, it's also not a meteor. If it's not a plane and it has lights on it, it's also not a meteor. So what is it? Well, we call these things, for those in the media who haven't figured this out, we call those unidentified flying objects. We don't know what they are. We don't know where they were manufactured. Maybe here on Earth. We don't know. We don't know who's flying them. Maybe humans. They are still unidentified flying objects. And you only chuckle at the people who believe a Harley's a goat. You only laugh at the people that say this thing was a meteor. Because you know meteors don't change course. You know they don't have lights on them. You know that. So you laugh at the people that tell that ridiculous story, and you laugh at the people that buy that ridiculous story, but you don't laugh at the people that stick to the truth of what they saw. That's just basic journalism and basic rational thinking. So I say again to our friends to the north, the Canadian press, come on. You can be better than the United States press with two hands tied behind your back and with your tongues super glued to the top of your mouth. You can still be better than the United States media. So we look for better things from you. We hope for better things from you. And maybe you will live up to that promise and live up to that potential. I hope so. All right. What do I think it was? I know what it was. I know it was an unidentified flying object. That means I can't identify it. I don't know if it was terrestrial or extraterrestrial. I don't know if it was being flown by humans or extraterrestrials, or if it was unmanned. I don't know that. It's unidentified. It was flying. It was real. And it was not a meteor. So, some of you in Canada, perhaps if this little lesson that I've provided now for Canadian media, if it has any effect whatsoever, keep me informed. Let me know, all right? And feel free to record this portion of the show and to send it to your friends in the media, all right? Because a lot of them are believing Harleys are goats. So maybe this will help them. All right, this has been an interesting night. A lot of interesting stuff in the news. We started out with an earthquake in Baja, California. 6.9 on the Richter scale. It shook things all the way over to Phoenix. It didn't shake things all the way across Phoenix because I'm over on the east side. And we didn't feel anything, but apparently over on the west side, they did. And they actually even made people evacuate from a couple of buildings in downtown Phoenix because they were swaying. And as I said, we don't have tall buildings here, and it was still causing shorter buildings to sway. So we started out with shaking, and then we talked about McKinnon, and we've talked about Texas, and we've talked about UFO crash that crashed into the Ottawa River. It's been an interesting evening all the way around, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Tomorrow night, my guest is going to be Stephen Bassett. During chat on Saturday evening, I think I told people that was going to be Stephen Bassett was going to be with me on Monday night. That was in error, but I had been up for 24 hours. So, but he will be with us tomorrow night. I hope you'll be here, too. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.